Any comments on the side of moving this measure forward as it's specified for full endorsement? Is there any support of that, or before we move on?
This is Chris Miller. I guess my hesitation with making it time limited is that that's exactly what it does. It also further delays the use of the measure until these analyses are done. And I'm remembering that every 3 years the measures get reviewed, and RAND is suggesting that they will look at the impact of missing data. So I guess I would still tend to go with our original decision when we met face-to-face.
Well, our decision was with that recommendation.
Right.
Do not include patients with missing data.
Right.
And they're very reasonably not accepting this. But I think because they're not accepting our recommendation, that it becomes an issue for time limitation.
Right. So just to clarify, your recommendation was to include in the denominator and the numerator. It makes an assumption about the numerator as well, to include these patients in the measure. And that would change the validity testing if we changed it. I mean, it would change the measure as it's been publicly reported.
Right, but you're not going to be able to. Yes, it would, but a lot of the measures are. Well, many of the measures are going to change, right?
Many of the measures are going to change because the questions have been changed that underlie the data have changed. This is an item for which the data have not changed, and the way that the data are collected have not changed. And so proposing to include would be a change.
Correct. So this would make it a different measure and so would require testing. So I guess from that standpoint, the time-limited status would be appropriate. So when you recommend a measure with conditions, the committee has, you know, the options of, well, certainly if the measure developer meets the conditions, then the measure generally moves forward. If they don't meet the condition, the committee has the option of voting the measure down, accepting the measure, or accepting the measure developer's rationale for not changing the measure. And what I've heard is a further suggestion of asking them to do some analysis under a time-limited status. And I think we can do that. I will need to talk that over with Helen Burstyn. And we will have to get back to you about that.
Mm-hmm. So to clarify for us to be able to put together the vote, it sounds like we have to check on whether or not we can do this time limited, and if not, we'll have to put it forth as recommended for a regular full endorsement, and then the vote will be either yes or no.
Correct. So we'll get we have something else that we have to get clarified. So, you know, we won't put up the voting this afternoon until we get the answers to these questions for the committee. Okay, shall we, any other thoughts from the committee about that or comments?
Blue?
Okay, so shall we move on then?
I think at times there's some difficulty muting and unmuting the phones.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Designated as a speaker does have an open line. Hello?
I can hear everyone fine. And everything sounds great, Karen.
Yep. Would you like me to move on to the next measure, Measure 22, the percent of residents who need help with activities for daily, whose need for help with activities of daily living has increased?
Just to quickly jump in and let folks know, if you're having trouble with unmuting your line, you can send us a text chat message and we will try and help you.
Okay. The only question for this particular measure was that to explicitly define the long stay patient. And again, we agree with the recommendation to clarify the definition, and that will be the focus will be for residents who length of stay in the facility is greater than 100 days from the date of admission. And again, the residents who are discharged to a hospital with return anticipated will not have the 100 days count reset to zero when they return to that facility. So we will make the change.
This is Suzanne. I'd like to apologize. That's a typo. We should actually be discussing Measure 21, percent of residents who are physically restrained, long stay. That one has a similar issue with the missing data. So Measure 22 actually, there's not, it's just the definition change. So we we should be discussing Measure number 21 right now.
Oh, 21. Okay.
That's on page 11. Sorry, I had to step away for a second. I don't know if you guys were asking me questions, but
yeah, it's just above this on the memo.
It's on page 11 of the memo.
Yeah.
Okay, so Measure 21 is the percent of residents who are physically restrained, and again, the question had to do with the missing data. Otherwise, there weren't any other recommendations in regards to this measure.
So same with all the missing data. You would continue to exclude missing data until such time you've done the testing, and therefore the request is time limited.
Initially, I think after the discussion with the panel, it was recommended for endorsement with conditions. So I guess it the same that statement that Karen had mentioned to would apply in regards to having it for time limited endorsement.
Right. So our understanding is this is Karen. So the understanding is that you really do not want to remove that missing exclusion until you've done analysis. So that there's no, so it's now up to the committee whether to accept that or not. So I just want to make sure that that's the status.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
But you can also check whether, I mean, this is totally analogous to the one we just did on.
Right. So that's what my next question was going to be, whether the steering committee felt the same way about this one as the prior one, that you would prefer that we be able to put this into a time-limited status.
I feel that, this is Dee Dee, and I think we should, and we should be consistent across all the measures.
Yeah, I think that would be make sense. Any other thoughts on that? Differing thoughts? Okay. 25, depression.
Okay. Depression. 25 is the percent of residents who have symptoms of major depression, and this is focuses on the long-stay residents. So, again, there was the recommendation to be more explicit in our definition of the long-stay residents, which we will be. And there was also we were asked to clearly specify how to calculate the numerator if any of the PH9 items receive a yes answer, it should be counted, as this is the facility prevalence estimate identification of the presence of depression. And our response, the cut point for the presence of major depression is a score of 10 or above, and the value and what we had used in the numerator in regard to the algorithm is based on work by Kronick that can be found in PHQ-9, the validity of a brief depression severity score. So again, we provided the specifics on how to calculate the numerator, but the score of 10 is the score that is indicated according to Kronick's work in regards to taking a look and focusing on major depression.
Comments or questions from committee members?
If it's helpful at all in regards to the article itself, PHQ-9 scores of 5, 10, 15, and 20 represented mild, moderately severe, and severe depression, respectively. And then in their reliability and the distribution of the scores according to the depression diagnostic status, it said that the 88% of patients with the major depression had scores of 10 or greater. So that was what they used to define the cut point.
So, again, this is a facility score, so the way it is if a resident is at the cut point of 10 or above, then they get counted in the numerator. If they're below 10 or less, they don't get in the numerator?
That's correct.
And you provided how you get scored is to be 10 or above?
That's correct.
So it's a two-stage, it may be helpful in the final documentation that we define this clearly as a two-stage sort of process, scoring messages, how you define whether the resident gets included in the numerator or denominator, but the numerator, the numerator definition is those residents that score 10 and above.
Above. Okay.
And then this is how you score 10 or above.
Right. Thank you. Yep, we can certainly change that and include that in the measure specifications.
I guess I'm looking at it. I'm still a little confused on how you score 10 or above. You've got three categories here, right? You have to have at least one or two of the first. I'm looking at page 13.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have one of those first two items true. Then you need five or more true of the next nine. And then, hold on, what's the cutoff? It goes back to the same. What am I missing here?
Oh, and then at the bottom, the first one's the resident interview measure, and the second is for the staff assessment measure.
So you can get in either through the resident or the staff, or do you have to have both?
No, either.
So you're in the numerator if you score 10 and above either on the resident interview or the staff measure.
Yes, but the focus was on the question in regards to how the scoring went for the resident interview.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the committee members? And the next, I think that's it for RTI. Is that correct? Any questions for the RTI CMS measures?
I would just say, I think on this one, too, it would be good to look for missing data.
What do you mean by that, Dee Dee? Right, because these are multiple items.
Right.
If they score, if there's, you're saying some are scored, if they're not scored yes or no, but some are missing.
Right, but then we don't know whether they just didn't get it in the last. Because, I'm sorry, I just lost the page.
If, the who's, like,
who's included in the denominator? Could you please remind me? is page 12?
You're not asking me to remind you, are you, Dee Dee? You're asking RTI, right?
Yes, please. You know.
Roberta?
Yes, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
The question is, can you remind us who's in the denominator, and is any of the items used in the denominator calculation subject to the missing data issue that we've talked about before?
Let me take a look at that. Don't know that off the top of my head, but...
Actually, Roberta, if it's a problem, you don't have to answer it now, but, you know, it sounds like it would be a good idea to, you know, since you're looking at missingness for everything, if there's a possibility of missingness here, it would be good to look at it.
Sure. All right. I'll look into that. Yeah, I don't have it right at my fingertips, but I could definitely get back to you.
And I just got to tell you, thank you for the word missingness. I love it.
To clarify, is the committee asking that this measure also be changed to time-limited status in order to... Oh, wait, sorry. This one is already time-limited, but the committee is now asking an additional clarification to look at missing data?
This is Sheila from RTI. I think our intent as part of the analysis of every measure is to look at patterns of missing data. So that whether the committee requires it or not, that would be part of our analysis, is to understand the data that are coming in.
There's a lot of shuffling or typing or something going on in the background. If it's possible to mute your line, whoever's doing that, that would be very helpful. So, Felicia, can we ask you just to quickly remind folks how to mute their lines?
They can try to use *6. It may not work on all telephone systems.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, back to the question, is the committee putting forth an additional request or not, since this one is currently up for time-limited endorsement and the developer says they do intend to look at the missing data issue?
I don't need it.
I don't need it, Sister Mary Rose.
So it sounds like that's not a request.
No.
Are we ready to move forward to the last item on our agenda?
I believe so. But is Eric Coleman on the line?
We did ask him to come on at 1:30. He may not have joined us yet, and it looks like he's not logged into the web portion of the call. I don't know if folks have questions or not.
Maybe just one. This is Bill. There were a number of other comments from RTI relative to measures in that May 7th or May 12th memo that we haven't specifically discussed. What's the status with those?
Are there specific questions that you're referring to, or?
The
Suzanne, this is Karen. Just reiterate how you handled the measures that where
right.
the conditions were met.
Yeah, there were several measures where the steering committee had requested that the developer make changes, such as the long stay, short stay time clarification. And in cases where the committee, where the developer made all the changes that were requested by the committee, we didn't put them on the agenda for discussion in the interest of time.
Okay.
And we just sent out an email on Friday. Asking with a survey asking you to vote on those measures. However, we do have time if you have specific questions about any of the measures that we didn't talk about from CMS. We can certainly do that now.
Well, I do have one, and I'm
okay.
The rattling of the papers again. And it relates to the pressure ulcer measures, 12 and 13, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little off my turf here, so I hope hopefully I can capture this. But one of the things that I've understood is that there is maybe an issue of harmonization, harmonization, if that's the word, in terms of the coding requirements for deep tissue injury wounds, specifically related to stage 2 ulcers, and it's not harmonization with NQF measures. It's maybe more harmonization with NPUAP recommendations about coding. How I understand it is this, that CMS has changed the DTI wound definition that now will require coating a DTI with blood-filled blister as a stage 2, and that's contrary to the NPUAP recommendations. How does that issue factor into 12 and 13?
This is Roberta. I'm just trying to take a look on my MDS 3.0. Go ahead.
Just to clarify, the committee did not bring that forward as a condition at the time of the meeting. That's why that was not listed in this memo. So.
And perhaps it might be helpful to me if I could have, I'd be happy to submit a written response to the committee. So it would be helpful perhaps just to get the question and be sure that, in writing that I go back and I sort of fully take a look at.
Okay. I can send that on. Should I send that to you, Suzanne?
Yes, please do. Are you able to vote on the measure without that information, or do you feel that's a requirement for moving forward?
Well, it raises a question to me, and some of it might be because, in terms of the issue not being raised the last time, is that, so much of the work with 3.0 and the RAI manual and so forth has been, at least at that point in time, was an ongoing work in progress.
So So, Suzanne, this is Karen. I think, you know, probably just to reduce confusion, we should get responses to everything and then have them vote. So that maybe delay things a day or two.
Okay. Yeah, if you can send me that question today, we'll forward that on and get an answer as soon as possible.
Will do.
Put that in when we do the survey. Are there further questions on any of the other measures that we didn't address today?
This is Chris Miller. Something that perhaps some other people did too, when we said, for example, we didn't have the information from Ms. Thompson, actually we got a lot of attachments, and it's one of those things on Outlook that if you don't scroll down on your attachments, you only see the first three. And that's what, so Suzanne, you did send it out.
Okay, I don't think there were any further, I don't think there were any further issues that were not addressed. I'm just skimming over the memo.
So, Suzanne, you said Eric Coleman was going to join at 1:30?
Yes. If we can try and get a hold of him now and see if he can join right now.
Okay. Okay. And in the meantime?
And if he can join, we can just give us a moment here. If there's any further items to discuss or any other questions. Maybe we can use this time to see if there's any public comments. Felicia, can you open the line and see if there's any public questions at this time?
Yes. In order to pose a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function has been turned off. We'll go to Sandra.
Excuse me, Susie.
Yes.
This is Roberta Constantine. Do we need to stay on the line or is it all right to...
You can leave, although the public comment period may have questions that address your measures, so you may wish to stay on the line.
And Sandra, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have two comments. One is just a follow-up on the comment that Bill just made on pressure ulcers. It was announced at the RAI conference that CMS was going to change the definition of the DTI, blood filled blister, to a stage 2, and it's my understanding that was done for reimbursement purposes. The unfortunate part of this is that when that DTI, blood filled blister, stage 2, when that blister breaks, it now becomes a stage 3 or most likely a stage 4. So you're getting an inappropriate reading of poor quality from the facility, which is not poor quality because that's what would happen with that DTI to begin with. So we brought this issue up to CMS, and hopefully they will reconsider changing the definition back. So that's what's behind the coding of the DTI under the pressure ulcers. The other measure I want to comment on is measure number 25, and that's percent of residents who have symptoms of major depression. The issue we have here is when we looked at the research done on PHQ-9, we know that asking the questions every 2 weeks produces valid results. But now if we take asking those questions and lay it onto a assessment schedule that requires more frequent assessments, there is a question whether this is still going to be valid results in the PHQ-9 responses. For example, a short stay patient, and the average length of stay is 33 days, will have, during the 30-day period or the 33-day period, a requirement for three PPS assessments. Most of these people will have a start of therapy, an end of therapy, and a discharge assessment. So within that 33-day window, you could potentially see six assessments or more. That means we are going to be doing them, if you wanted to average it out, every 5 days. So the question now is, can we ask these questions that often without affecting the validity of the responses? And we haven't been able to find a response to that question yet. So it's something that y'all have to keep in mind.
Thank you. Are there further public questions or comments?
Again, that is star one if you would like to pose a question. We'll go next to Stella.
So that we've asked this question of Dr. Saliba, and there doesn't seem to be any dilution of the validity of the results. Number one. Number two, I'm going to put on my emergency room and psychiatric nursing hat to let you know that for patients that are depressed or suicidal, there will be at times a delay in when they'll respond with a true answer. So actually asking the question more than once is actually can be beneficial. Thank you.
Are there further questions?
We'll go to Sandra.
Yes, I want to respond to that. We know, I don't think Dr. Saliba tested the PHQ-9 with all the additional assessments that we've added onto the MDS. So the concern is if you've just completed an assessment and now you have to do another one, when you look at the look-back period, you're looking at the same period of time. So you're going to be capturing maybe similar information, but the major concern is, will we be inadvertently leading the patient by repeatedly asking the questions to lead them to an answer or get them to a point where they're just saying anything because they've answered those questions so often. So that is the concern.
This is Dr. Zorowitz. Could you explain how this would be repeatedly administered? I'm not sure I followed there.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
All right. Again, if you look at the short stay patient, average length of stay 33 days, there are three required PPS assessments that have this. All right, so we have 5, 14, and 30-day assessments. A lot of these patients have therapy, so we're asking the questions at the start of therapy, and at the start of therapy, I believe, and then on discharge. Now, many of these patients will start therapy, will have to stop because of illness or another reason, and then will restart again. It's not clear to me how this is all going to work when we're repeating a lot of the questions during this period of time, and that's the concern we have.
I don't know if the PHQ-9 part of each MDS. That is, there's the initial MDS and there's a change of condition MDS, and they differ. So I'm not sure whether the PHQ-9 is part of them all.
I don't know if they're on every single one, but they are on many of them. And maybe Stella can answer that one.
Sandy, this is Roberta. I think it would, and I don't know, I don't want to speak for Stacy. I don't know if she's still on the phone or whatever, but I'd be happy to go back and I can be more specific with an answer in regards to which, which specific assessments that the PHQ-9 is on and how we would look at that in regards to specifically is it short stay patients?
Well, it would be any a Medicare patient initially coming in to the facility that you're going to see a number of assessments over a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
The longer
okay.
stay would be on a regular schedule, whether it's quarterly or even if there's a change in condition where mm-hmm. that shouldn't be a problem. So it's for those individuals who are new to the facility and particularly those who are Medicare.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me go back and check. I just don't want to recall something off my top of my head and then misspeak. So I'll take a look at that.
Thank you.
Are there any further public questions or comments?
No one else has signaled at this time.
Okay, well, we haven't been able to get Dr. Coleman on the line at this time, but I think we do need to move forward in the interest of time and so as not to leave everybody just sitting on a deadline for the moment. Does anybody have any comments about the measure?
This is Dr. Zorowitz. You know, it might be the MDS 3.0 is available on the CMS website. It might be helpful for the members of the steering committee to have access to it, either by sending us copies or by just giving us the links to the various MDSs so we can take a look at them. Particularly when we're discussing this, I have the MDS open in front of me. And it's very helpful to look at it while we're discussing the measures so I can look at the individual components of the MDS that contribute to it. Just a suggestion.
Yes, we can send that out.
So, Suzanne, are you wanting us to just have discussion about the care transition measure prior to Dr. Coleman coming on the line?
Yeah, I think that we should do that. We have not been able to get in touch with him. Emma did leave him a message, and rather than have you all sit on a line for 20 minutes, I think we should move forward.
So the goal of this part of the agenda is it's nothing about to vote for this measure. It's simply just to discuss the measure for the youth in nursing homes.
Yes, we just want to see how the steering committee feels about including it in the measure set. It has already been endorsed by NQF, so there's no need to go over it in terms of voting for its scientific acceptability or usability or feasibility. That's all set. It's whether or not the steering committee thinks it would be useful or appropriate to include in this set.
This is Mary Jane. I think that it really is, especially as nursing homes start to do more and more post-acute care, because what it's going to do is it's really going to, I think, focus them on some of the areas that we know from research tend to be indicators of the need for rehospitalization. So if they can be working on that so that when the person is then discharged from the nursing home back into the community, they really understand kind of those three elements, which will help them stay in the community without bouncing back.
This is Bill. And I don't have that in front of me. I was looking for it, but I couldn't find it. But as I remember it, I certainly agree that the whole issue of transitions is important. But what struck me when I was looking at it is that as a standalone measure, it only measures really the effectiveness of discharge planning, if you will, at the hospital. And it really, it wasn't clear to me how it measures anything in terms of the transition, the which is the sender and the receiver.
This is Mary Jane again. I can't speak for Eric and how his work was conceptualized, but I was thinking of it as a tool that nursing homes can use to prepare their residents for being discharged back to their homes. So it would tell you something about the quality of the transition from nursing home to home.
So does that mean, Mary Jane, modification of the measures or the questions so that they fit the nursing home discharge process?
The only real changes that I think need to be made, Bill, and again, I don't have it right in front of me at the moment, is that rather than referring to hospital, you would have to refer to nursing home.
Okay.
Right. I have it in front of me, and it is reworded to reflect that the patient is leaving the nursing facility.
Okay.
Actually, I have a number one. It is asking, the last word I have in number one is hospital.
Yes.
And that's intentional?
Well, the question is, the nursing facility staff took my preferences and those of my family or caregiver into account in deciding what my health care needs would be when I left the hospital.
So that is a transition from hospital to the nursing facility.
I think that's one we would have to see whether that's a typo and they left the word hospital there.
That would be a typo.
That would be a typo.
It should be the nursing home staff took my preferences and those of my family or caregiver into account in deciding what my health care needs would be when I left the nursing home, because this would be administered after a nursing home stay.
Yes. That's right, Bob.
And then the next two questions are appropriate for the nursing home, leaving the
right.
Nursing home. So that's just a typo.
That's a typo.
And we can confirm that.
And has this ever been tested with nursing home residents?
Yeah, it has.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Coleman can probably talk to that more, but it has been tested.
I think we were sent some papers regarding that, too.
Oh, I didn't.
Yes, the information for this was sent in advance of the May 21st call, so it was sent back in mid-May, and I can certainly resend that after the call.
And if there are any specific questions that are still outstanding, we could certainly get an answer, a response from Dr. Coleman for those, if there's anything else besides what was just mentioned.
Hi, this is Sister Mary Rose. I personally think it's an excellent tool. It's a simple tool. It's easy to institute in the home, and it gives us clear data afterwards that we can help change some processes. And it's very staff-friendly to use. So I personally think it's an excellent tool for our short-term patients returning to the community.
This is Dr. Zoritz. I guess the question will be how it's to be administered, and maybe this was mentioned, but I didn't recall whether somebody would call the patient or whether a letter would be sent out. I think it's just important when we when we consider measures, part of the methodology and therefore the usability and feasibility is how it's going to be measured. And I'm particularly sensitive about this because of our previous measures that were going to be done by third parties. And once we knew that there was someone that was going to be doing it and it wasn't going to fall on nursing home staff, that changed, that improved the feasibility and usability. So I was just curious as to how this was going to be administered.
We can look into that as well and get back to the whole
thing. Okay.
Yeah, that's an important question.
I also wonder about whether this can be connected to the discharge instrument or survey that's mailed out.
I would agree. This is Heidi Gill with that recommendation and trying to integrate. I think these are really important questions and clearly advance our dialogue with patients around their own responsibility and engagement and care. So I'd love to see it all connected.
So the questions, the follow-up questions that I have are whether or not that's a typo in the first question and how this should be administered and whether it's connected to the discharge survey that's mailed out afterward. Is there anything else that you'd like me to follow up with Dr. Coleman on? Clarify, actually, do you mean the discharge caps question?
Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
That's what I meant as well.
Great.
Well, if there's no further discussion on the care transition measure, do we do public comment again, or is that taken care of?
Yes, we can. We should open the lines again for public comment.
Once again, that's star one if you have a comment. And there are no comments in the queue.
And Suzanne, then maybe you can talk about next steps.
Suzanne, we can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to take the phone off mute. sorry about that, everyone. Yes, the next steps will be gathering the information that was requested on the various measures and getting that out to you as soon as possible, hopefully within the next day or two. And then once we have that information, we'll also be sending you a survey to vote on the measures that we discussed today. If you can vote on the measures that we did not discuss today where there were no changes, other than the pressure ulcer measures, since there was a request for more information on that, please do vote for those by close of business tomorrow. And we'll be sending out the survey. It will depend how long it takes us to get that information, but we'll be sending it out hopefully this time, sometime in the next week or this week. And we will also be sending you out an email to set up a time for a call later this summer to follow up on the public comments that come in, and that will happen in August. So we'll be trying to set that up soon because I know a lot of you have vacation plans in August. And that's it for next steps. If there are no further questions, then we can end the call. And you can have an extra 40 minutes in your day. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And this call is now over.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Well done.